Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
We didn't spend a ton of time on the Jets yet. Just absolutely embarrassing. And for the fan base who was encouraged and was taking a silver lining and a moral victory out of week one, hanging with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and somehow it was like you came out of that game going, wow, you know, they're building something here and the culture and this and that, just turned right back into everything that the Jets are, just getting their ass kicked on their home field in front of their fans by a team that's better within the division and the game being over before it started. So, I mean, this is why I was at least, and I was dead wrong about a lot of things this week, but I was saying that, you know, you still lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers in week one, and Aaron Rodgers threw four touchdown passes and stood behind that podium and rubbed it in your face, but somehow you're taking positives out of this game?
Yeah.
And then the whole, oh, I love Aaron Glenn and the accountability, and they're cutting the guy who fumbled. Like, does any of that crap matter, honestly? Because when you come out with that type of performance, then, I mean, I'm looking at Aaron Glenn thinking he has no idea what the hell he's doing.
Well, again, you know, it's 2 weeks in, and again, like, I'm just telling you that he went through this with Dan Campbell, and they were 0-11. You know, we all saw that on Hard Knocks and watching, you know, what Jared Goff went through that first year. And, of course, Matthew Stafford goes on to win the Super Bowl. I mean, it was just miserable. And I'm sure it takes a while for, you know, people to really, for a coach and a general manager that are new, it's two games in, they got to get the feel for what's going on coaching staff-wise, player-wise. And unfortunately, to me anyway, when I see this and I saw the erratic play from Justin Fields for three quarters, that's the Justin Fields that unfortunately got benched in Pittsburgh last year. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's also the Justin Fields that struggled mightily in Chicago. Some of it his fault, some not of his fault. But there is a player in there that you can win with, as we saw in week one, if everything around him is solid. And they couldn't run the ball for crap yesterday. The defensive line of the Buffalo Bills absolutely manhandled the offensive line of the Jets. And when you put up numbers like this, I always wonder, like, we laugh about StatPak. Some of the stuff that I look at in StatPak, I want to see if I actually had a hand in it when I played.
Yeah.
So when I see that the Jets only had 54 pass yards, this is the lowest amount of pass yards in a home game since 2014. I'm thankful, but my name's not on there.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But this was about as poor an offensive performance as you could have expected, especially after what happened to Buffalo last week against one of the best teams in the league, in the Ravens.
And we're talking about back-to-back performances by the defense that were putrid as well. So, you know, and I understand that, you know, Dan Campbell gets a lot of credit, and the Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson got a lot of credit. But like, I also look back at some of these teams, especially the ones that have had continued success in the league, and a lot of it has to do with hitting on draft picks. Now, I know that there has to be a development there, but the Eagles and the Lions have been the two best teams at hitting on draft picks, especially in the NFC over the last 4 or 5 years. And building a roster is really the key to turning things around. So bottom line is the Jets don't have enough good players.
You know, if I remember correctly, I want to say in Dan Campbell's first year that they had a draft. That was the draft year where the Bengals could have taken Ja'Marr Chase or Penei Sewell.
Yeah. It was 2021, and it was Penei Sewell.
Penei Sewell, yeah, yeah. Penei Sewell. So the Bengals took Ja'Marr Chase, of course, and that mm-hmm. worked out really good for them. And Penei Sewell fell to the Lions. And that was Aiden Hutchinson, Penei Sewell, like, we're building the line. You know, the Jets did that this year with Armand Membu.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's the hope, is that he's going to become their Penei Sewell. They took Justin Fields. Okay, so they're stuck again at quarterback.
Yeah, but the Lions took Jared Goff, and I understand that he went to a Super Bowl, but everybody at that point was like, Jared Goff's a system guy, Sean McVay, and not good enough.
Yeah, okay, system guy. And you want to put him in the right system, and he's going to put up big numbers. And yesterday, 5 touchdowns with his old offensive coordinator standing on the sideline watching him slice and dice their defense.
Yeah, which was, I'm sure, satisfying for him in many ways. But, I mean, it was sort of like the same thing. It's not like when the Lions got Jared Goff and traded away Matthew Stafford that everybody was thrilled about Jared Goff. It was probably the same type of reaction that Jets fans had when they got Justin Fields.
I'm just telling you right now that the Jets quarterback has been unsettled for 10 straight years.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, whether it be draft picks that don't live up to the billing and have to go move on, or whether it be injuries with Aaron Rodgers, and now Justin Fields is the next guy. And I think, you know, he was, in the eyes of Aaron Glenn, you know, a dual threat quarterback that if he wasn't going to be throwing the ball well, he would be a nice complement with a running game. And he may still be, and I think he still will have games where you're going to be really happy with his performance. And then there are going to be days like yesterday. This was probably the worst he played, you know, in the NFL. This is probably his worst game, and he probably feels that today. And I don't want to kill him today too much because he's dealing with a concussion. Hopefully it's a minor one and he can get back out on the field as quickly as possible because he needs to play more. But I would just say that the Buffalo Bills came in here and just absolutely completely dismantled this team. I think the big problem for this team right now is this defense. You know, and Steve Wilks, like, he was the defense coordinator for the 49ers for 1 year.
Yep, and they got rid of him.
See ya.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't know what it is. But to me, you know, that's got to be looked at. And that's where Aaron Glenn comes from. He comes from that side of the ball. So he's got to be involved, and he's got to get that defense better because they're going to have a chance to win any of these games. Their best players on defense have to show up more consistently.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm sure that he got more involved after. I'm sure he's been involved. And I'm sure he got even more involved after what happened against the Steelers. But, I mean, the fact that they even looked worse this week than they did the previous week, I mean, I understand. Like, they've got a decent amount of talent. They shouldn't be this bad. But maybe some of these guys that we just have been talking about for so long are just overrating. Maybe they're just not that good.
Well, you know, Garrett Wilson is really good, but if you don't get him the ball, he can't do anything.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just out there running plays. Like, right. Hey, I'm over here. I'm over there.
Right.
You know, and, you know, there isn't really a complimentary top-end second wide receiver for the Jets. And again, like, all if they end up like we think they're going to end up, they're going to have a top-5 draft pick.
Again.
And that's where they'll have to make the decision. Do they go with another young quarterback, or do they find a defensive pass rusher, or is there another offensive lineman? I'm like, or another wide receiver. I mean, where we're going to be next April.
Let's go to Pete in Old Bridge. What's going on, Pete?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, man. What's up?
Nothing. Just wanted to say it's nice to talk to you guys. I've been listening for a while now. Got a couple points I want to make about the Jets. Kind of feeding off what you started with, you know, you woke up and they just played like the same old Jets. Disappointed with the way Sauce plays. I want to know if you guys still believe in Aaron Glenn. Kind of sounds like Boomer does, you not so much. And you can't cut the guy, but do you bench Michael Clemens? I wonder what you guys think.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We talked a little bit about that off the air. Just first off, still believe in Aaron Glenn. I didn't like the hire to begin with. It doesn't mean I'm not going to give him a chance. Doesn't mean that I think that he's never going to have success. But I never really believed he was the right guy. At this point in the Jets franchise history, I wanted someone that had real experience instead of someone who wanted to be Bill Parcells. You know, bring in someone who actually had that type of resume. And they decided to go with a first-time head coach defensive coordinator again and do this all over again. As far as Clemens goes, I mean, you turn to me in the break and go, well, do they cut Clemens now?
Yeah, they're not going to cut him, but they're going to, you know, he's another one, much like Hudson yesterday. I'm like, he plays a game, he's on edge, and sometimes that edge ends up leading to penalties. And it's just a really frustrating part of playing with a guy that plays with that type of intensity.
Well, it's also what Aaron Glenn, it's like a fine line because Aaron Glenn wants these guys to love football and play aggressive and leave it all out there. And then when they're in that mindset, sometimes it's tough to fine-tune that.
You know who had the same problem was James Harrison when he first played.
Oh, my God,
You ask Bill Cowher about him,
oof.
He'll tell you, man, I mean, like, it was, like,
It was a fine every week.
Exactly. And Bontez Perfect for the Bengals. I mean, there's the league is littered with guys that play really on the edge. And then it's when you finally get that player to understand what the situation is. And I'm not saying every time Michael Clemens gets a flag thrown on him, he deserves it. Sometimes it's because of his reputation.
Mm.
You know, and I'm sure other coaches before games talk to the officials. Hey, watch this guy. Watch that guy. We've seen this guy on film do these different things, and the officials are human beings, and they get reminded, and then all of a sudden a flag comes out.
Let's go to Mario and Howell. What's going on, Mario?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Gio, I could not agree with you more. I mean, this all comes down to, in my opinion, ownership, and it's Woody. And it's always been Woody. You know, I was telling Al, if you, God forbid, you or a loved one was diagnosed with a terminal condition, you're going to research and you're going to find the doctors and the specialists who have experience in treating whatever that condition is. You're not going to reach out and go to a first time, you know, doctor, you know, straight out of medical school to treat the condition. This is an organization that is riddled with rigor mortis. How this guy Woody constantly, every time there's a new hire for both head coach and general manager, he goes with a first time candidate, and it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. They need somebody in here that wants to take that task of turning the organization around. You know, I don't know who's out there. I agree with you. It's no knock, no indictment on Aaron Glenn, but the chances of a first-time head coach succeeding here, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work.
Well, especially for someone who has no, but here's the difference between Aaron Glenn, and I'm with you, Mario. I've obviously agreed. At least Aaron Glenn knows this organization and has been here at their worst and been here at their best. So that was one thing I always used to talk about. It's not like someone like Rob Saleh who parachutes out of the sky and then all of a sudden is a Jets head coach and goes, what the F did I just get myself into? But I was preaching experience for the longest time. And like I know at some point John Gruden's going to get another job. At some point. And then somebody, and if he coaches well, then there's going to be a bunch of franchises that said, wow, we're dummies. We should have been on top of this first. That was the guy I was screaming about. Or just somebody who has been there before. I mean, to have another learn-on-the-job wasted season. It's like, my God.
Guys, just, yeah, everybody's got to relax. It's 2 weeks into it.
Yeah, but they're not going to be any good. You know that.
Well, we knew that going into the season that it was going to be a struggle, especially offensively. Now, they may have played their best offensive game in week one. I don't know. They'll play some pretty poor defenses. They're going to play the Dolphins twice. Mm. They'll have opportunities to have big games. Breece Hall will have an opportunity. I mean, like, there's going to be situations where they'll be able to play well, and it's the longness of the NFL season. But first of all, you and I talked incessantly for months about what we thought the Jets should have done.
Mm-hmm.
So the Jets went down this road, and a lot of this has to do with Bill Parcells. Remember that. A lot of this has to do with Bill Parcells. And Bill Parcells really felt like this guy would be the right guy for the Jets because Aaron understands the Jets. He understands what he's dealing with. I'm disappointed in their offensive performance for sure yesterday, no question. I'm more disappointed in their defense over the first 2 weeks because I think that Justin Fields is going to be an erratic player that he has been.
Yeah, but I mean, think about when Bill Parcells got to the Jets, what type of coach he was at that point. Now, you want to say, hey, when we got to the Giants, he didn't have that resume and he built it up from there. But the Jets and the Giants are just completely different. Different organizations.
But that's what it took for the Jets. They needed Parcells' attitude, just like they needed Rex Ryan's attitude.
Yeah.
Like, those people, those two guys are just special coaches for the way they are and how egotistical, like, just maniacs. They were maniacs when they were coaches.
Yeah.
Which is what you have to be in the NFL. It's got to be a no-holds-barred, and I think Aaron Glenn has that in him. And he's trying to get it right, but it's not going to happen overnight. It's just not.
No. But, I mean, we've talked about how things look. And, yeah, the offense looked great week one, defense terrible, and then they get blown out and their asses handed to them at home again. So it's like, it's give me a little something, you know, something to be proud of. Maybe that whole Aaron Glenn thing, I want to give the fans what we're proud of. What's proud? What are you proud of from yesterday?
Nothing. And by the way, you know, they headed off two players at the pass. And those two players happened to be Sauce Gardner and Garrett Wilson. They gave them contracts before they had to give them contracts. Mm-hmm. And the reason they gave them those contracts is because they didn't want them bitching and complaining about leaving next year. They knew it was going to be a tough year. Let's take care of these guys early. We know they're great players. We're going to pay them. Therefore, we're going to pay for their silence. In other words, we're going to pay for their support.
Yeah.
They're going to be here. They're not going anywhere, and they're not going to complain. They're going to support their head coach. And that's one of the reasons why they did what they did. And, you know, Aaron's got to have time. You can't expect, especially, which is really disappointing, after that first week, offensively, how well they played, to come out and play one of the worst offensive games a Jet team has played in years.
Let's go to Joe in Oceanside. What's going on, Joe?
I think maybe it's time for the Giants. I mean, they got rid of Feliciano, who was a beast with Frisco.
Hey, your phone's terrible. I think Joe's point was every guy who leaves the Giants feels like is having success somewhere else. There's definitely a handful
especially
of those.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, Daniel Jones so far, 2 weeks. Obviously, Saquon, but we knew how talented he was. Xavier McKinney goes to the Packers last year. Is in the Defensive Player of the Year discussion. Yeah, I mean, those are... Those are not good things if you are someone who's making decisions at the top of the organization whether or not to keep a general manager and a head coach. All right, one more before the break. Robert in Spotswood. What's going on, Robert?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Thanks for taking the call. Listen,
yes.
I just went on a rant with Al a little bit. Guys, it's week two. Listen, I'm a third-generation season ticket holder. I left at halftime yesterday. In 15 years, I've never, ever done that. With the sun bearing on us, as hot as it was, I knew it wasn't going anywhere, but the call for this guy's head already. Come on. It's
nobody's
week two. We
calling for his head.
Hold on. Stop. Yes, we are. There's a lot out there who are already calling. Is he the right guy for the job? Is he ready for this? It's week two. Listen, Steve Wilkes' defense, let's face it, the last two games, it's terrible. Absolutely terrible. That's why the 49ers got rid of this guy. I think Aaron Glenn needs to start there. There is where we need to start. We made Sherwood our captain. We made the other guy, Marcinho Ball, the captain. I watched them guys yesterday. We couldn't even cover a tight end. It's the same thing. So I believe we start with this. Just my opinion. We need to start somewhere, and it needs to start on the defensive side of the ball. Let's start there, because on offense, we got playmakers. Let's start on the defense side of the ball. Enough with already getting rid of this guy and all this stuff. It's only
Listen, anybody who is sane understands that Aaron Glenn's going to get a couple of years at the very least. So, I mean, if you're reacting to people that are saying fire him now, it's just a waste of breath.
And that's just, I think it's just a direct reaction from yesterday's game. And, you know, Buffalo is one of the preseason favorites to go to the Super Bowl out of the AFC. Remember that.
Yeah, and it's if a Jet fan isn't questioning if this is the right guy, then that person is probably, you know, a zombie. Because this is what Jet fans do. They want to know, is this the right guy? They want to know, is this the right quarterback? I've been through hell and back. I mean, if you're just a fan who's just kind of running around trying to look at things positively or not getting affected by this, then you just don't care as much,
which is fine. And you want to know something? That this is where you really find out about your head coach. This is where you really find out about your players.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big part of playing and being successful in the NFL is fighting through these times and keeping your players focused and concentrating on their jobs and not getting caught up in social media, not getting caught up in your family members telling you how much this guy sucks or this guy stinks and you're the greatest. What are you doing here? You need to go play somewhere else so you can win a championship. I mean, that's where the coach has really got to bear down, and he's got to be frank with his players. He's got to be transparent with his players. And sometimes, you know, I don't think it's gotten to this point yet with the defense, but there's going to be a point in time where they're going to pull out the tape.
Yeah.
And when they pull out the tape and they have everybody in that room together, and they start pointing out, like, what kind of effort is this? What kind of effort is that? What are we doing here? You know, what are you doing there? You know, and that kind of thing, you know, starts to wake up people a little bit. So hopefully they're not at that point yet. Hopefully they're still trying to adjust to each other because it is two games, two top-end quarterbacks they played, And one game was a good game, and the next game was just an absolute, complete, and utter disaster as they get wiped out by the Bills yesterday.
I was thinking about after the show today, going over to Florham Park and taking a note that says Steve Wilks sucks and putting it under a stone. Because Aaron Glenn said, no stone's going to be left unturned. So at some point, he'll get to it, and he'll open it up and go, Steve Wilks sucks. Well, maybe that's the problem. I hired this guy because he had experience. But really, he's got experience in 7 million places because he never sticks around very long to do anything good. So maybe that the one thing I'll agree with that last caller with is take a look there right now before it gets too late.
You know what Woody Johnson should do? He should stand on the sideline with a headset and a clipboard, kind of like what's going on in Indianapolis.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all, Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
The Jets. So, Sal, the worst thing for me about the Jets yesterday was that it felt like basically every other game I've watched for the past 15 years. And, like, that's a basic statement, but I think it carries more weight when I then followed up with last week followed, like, the complete antithesis of all of the games I've watched the last 15 years. So, it's like, man, I got, even though the Steelers beat them on a 60-yard field goal, we went through the mechanics of that game, and it obviously really hurt. I felt so, I don't know, emboldened by the Aaron Glenn start here. I'm like, okay, this is what I saw over the summer and that first half. This is the Steelers game. No sacks, no penalties, you know, no dumb plays, four possessions, two touchdowns, two field goals. That's the exact opposite of what I'm used to. And then yesterday, it was what I'm used to. First possession, three and out, Justin Fields misses Garrett Wilson by 5 miles. The opening possession on defense there, and then you get the Michael Clemens ridiculous penalty. There were just so many things that went wrong. Obviously, the Fields penalty, a fumble. The Jets, yes. It's early. Before I go now, I got to take a half a step back here because it's game number two for Aaron Glenn, number two. But I expected more yesterday, man. I expected more, and I don't want to make it bigger than it really is. But that was an alarmingly inept football game for the Jets.
Yeah, you weren't alone, but to me, I don't know why anybody would expect more. A cleaner effort, sure. The Bills are so much better than the Jets. It's not even funny. Like, they didn't even play a good game, the Bills. Josh Allen didn't even throw for a single touchdown, and they still wallop the Jets. My issue is not with Glenn, because I still believe that he'll get it turned around. My issue is then with the penalties and the sloppy play, like, that's something that we had Anthony Becht on before the season. He said you could see that the results right away. And it's been two straight weeks where the Jets have had some bad penalties. I'll give him a little bit of a pass last week. I don't think it was as bad as this week. But everybody made a big deal. The high and mighty Aaron Glenn of the Jets held everybody accountable. Okay, is Clemens going to get cut this week?
I cut him.
Is Justin Fields going to get cut with the fumble? Like, Justin Fields sucked. For all those people who got on, those of us who said Justin Fields can't throw, he was god-awful. Now, again, I know that there are two different arguments here, so I want to get back to your point about Glenn. I would not go overly negative if I were you. I'd throw this one out. The Bills are really good. It's year one, new regime. The Jets are overmatched. Now, you'd like to be more competitive, sure. I get that. That was an ugly performance. You wash it. You go out there and try to compete against the Bucs here. The next few weeks, to me, are going to be more telling where they should be able to compete and maybe beat the Bucs. They should be able to beat the Dolphins, beat the Cowboys. If we thought who, you know, they are who we thought they were. And again, I'm not judging them on wins or losses this year. I just want to see competitive, clean, smart, disciplined football. That game, to me, week two, was more the aberration. I expect better football moving forward, even if the results may be the same.
I do too, but you can't say it's an aberration when there's only two times where they've hit the field. Like, the aberration right. would be if you play five times and one is like that. That's an anomaly. That's the aberration. They weren't ready to play yesterday. You know, I can't sugarcoat this. From the opening snap, and you're right, Justin Fields was awful. I mean,
he was Justin Fields. That's what he normally looks like.
God, Sal, he missed some three. And you saw in the first series where he missed Garrett Wilson. That's a 15, 20, more than that. That's a 25-yard gash play. The play that bothered me, aside from the Clemens penalty, and I would cut him. Now, you can't start cutting people every time they put a ball on the turf.
Right,
that goes without saying. And Fields got popped from behind. It happens. He's gonna possess the ball a lot as a running quarterback. He's gonna fumble a few times. Wasn't a lack of effort. They made a good play. And the Bills are very good on defense. We understand that. But Clemens has been emotionally immature from the moment that he got here. And for somebody who's that's erratic, who is that erratic consistently and doesn't seem to ever make any plays. The only time Michael Clemens' name comes up is when he does something dumb. So yes, I would cut him. But the play that bothered me the most, okay? So they're down 10-0 at this point, and the Jets had a pretty good drive, and then they did that ridiculous reverse that lost 10 yards, and momentum was stifled, and then they punt the ball, right? But Allen gets hurt, 2:33 to go in the first quarter. It's a 10-0 game, and you just knew that the Jets didn't look right. But if there's ever a chance to make a move, Trubisky comes in. It's not like he throws a 5-yard screen
pass.
That
was a beautiful pass.
He drops back and throws a 32-yard dime on Sauce Gardner, who, by the way, also committed a penalty. Like, when I saw that, I'm like, man, that's kind of... That's the warning flare. It's going to be a long day. So I believe fully in Aaron Glenn with every ounce of football conviction I have. But that doesn't mean that yesterday was acceptable. It was not on any level. And if these kind of games start stacking together, which I don't think that they will, but if they do, well, then it's going to be a bit of an unkind early evaluation for Aaron Glenn.
Well, it's going to be a major problem if that's the case. Again, it's just two games. Where I think you and others maybe got a little bit carried away, like, we're still obviously evaluating what Aaron Glenn is. It's two games with him as the head coach. The expectation of winning these games, to me, should not even be in the picture. If it happens, BT, so be it. After week one, I could see how people started to get excited, thinking, hey, if they play like this, they're going to win a lot more games than many people thought. The expectation to me should have been tempered, especially after that first game, because Justin Fields played out of his mind, and just try to evaluate the head coach, cleaning up the stupid penalties, the smart football. Like, we're in the process of evaluating that with a rookie head coach after just two games. Forget the result, because if you start chasing the results right away, you're going to be very disappointed.
Well, listen, I picked the Jets to lose this week, so right. I'm chasing week-to-week progress. That's all I'm saying here. Now, the way it was over so fast, and the fact that Josh Allen didn't really have to do anything. You know, this rivalry is very competitive generally, despite the fact that they won five straight divisions, and there's no doubt who the top dog is in the AFC East here. The Bills absolutely own it. But the Jets almost always play them very competitively, even when the Jets are at their lowest. So I was surprised, despite it being almost a 7-point spread. Now, I did not think that the Jets would win, but I did not think that the Jets would get punked like this. Mm. And again, it's early. It happens. Aaron Glenn's still in the early stage to finding out who's his kind of player and who's not. But you got to clean this up. And you don't have to beat Tampa. You can't look like this again.
Ray is calling from Babylon about those Jets. What's up, Ray?
All right, I have 3 points I want to make about that dismal, embarrassing joke of a game last night, yesterday afternoon, last night, because it fed into my nightmares last night. First, it's Michael Clemens. Second, it's Justin Fields. And third, it's the Jets' lack total energy. First, Clemens. The guy came into the Jets with a rap sheet. This guy's nothing more than a criminal. And then he ends up with that egregious rough-in-the-passer penalty that led a drive for the Bills to score their touchdown. That set the tone for the entire game, and he's got to account for that. If Aaron Glenn has any guts, if he wants to be the man in charge, he cuts Clemens today and sends a message to this team. You want to cost us the game, you're going to hit the road. And hit the bricks, Clemens. That's number one.
But here's the problem with that, Ray, and thank you for the call. We'll take a break in a minute. Here's the problem with that. The Jets cut Gibson in week one, and everybody was saying, there we go, set the example. Well, how'd they play the following week? So they played way, 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 way worse than they did in week one. So what message exactly got through to the players after they played that slop game yesterday after sending, quote-unquote, sending the message? So I'm not saying that you got to keep Clemens. I would not tolerate that. But if you cut him, now that's 2 weeks in a row you're making, quote-unquote, examples of people. Mm-hmm. You expect things to change. Like, sometimes it's just about moving on and getting the right players in. That can't happen in season, in 1 year.
The problem is we all want this to happen overnight,
yeah,
and it's
exactly.
not going to. I mean, that's the line that we walk. That's the balance that we have to straddle here. You know, when I sat down to watch that game, I was legitimately fired up. Like I haven't been, you know, many times over these last, you know, 15 years. Like, fired up. Who do you like
yeah,
for that?
I'm sorry.
God almighty, he's such a loser. Fired up. I'm so fired
Let's
up.
Let's go, baby. We got the Bills coming in.
I really thought it was going to be pretty good. And you just knew right away. I'm like, I've seen this script before. I know it. You know, so I hear you. They cut Gibson. Like, what was the positive downstream impact? If you look at it literally, none, because
well,
they
right
got
move.
Smoked. But that's where I was going. Yeah. It's more about the messaging and the accountability and the just no longer accepting, you know, sloppy, selfish, substandard play. And Gibson was sloppy. I think Clemens has been selfish
right.
and undisciplined, and I would cut him.
Yeah, I'm not saying that I wouldn't.
I know.
I'm just saying, like, to think that that's going to lead to a change in week three.
But eventually, if you just get
correct.
Rid of enough of those guys, and I'm not putting Gibson and Clemens in the same class. They're different types
right,
of mistakes.
Right.
But the more that you delete from the room, it's not going to be... It's not going to fix it immediately, but again, residually, you get those kind of players out, not team guys, not buttoned up, not disciplined, whatever, then eventually where we want to go is where we'll be.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Gio.
Boomer and Gio is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Gio, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Another mistake we would later see is Justin Fields putting the ball on the ground when Joey Bosa forced it and Espinosa fell on it, and immediately the Bills get great field position. They kick a field goal. But before that, the other play that was egregious was a third and 19, in which Josh Allen faces pressure, throws a pass to Khalil Shakir that's not completed,
mm-hmm.
and it's about to be a 4th and 19 with the Bills attempting what would probably be about a 55-yard field goal.
Yes.
Now, they probably make that field goal, and it's 3-0 Buffalo, but who the hell knows? But instead, Michael Clemens, who's done nothing as a Jet, let's just be honest, he's been here for 4 years, he's a 4th-round pick, he took those cute pictures when he was first drafted, and he came up to training camp with his muscles hanging out. Michael Clemens has been a waste of time. If the Jets cut him 2 weeks ago, no one would have batted an eye. But he commits an egregious roughing the passer penalty. So 3 plays later, James Cook dances into the end zone, and it's 7-0. I said this exactly 1 week ago. I got my wish. I'm going to say it again. Aaron Glenn, if you're going to be the accountability head coach, then Michael Clemens needs to go. I know JJ got hurt, Jermaine Johnson, he's banged up, so you know, our depth will be hurt. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. If you're going to hold guys accountable, then hold the guy accountable who has more personal fouls than sacks in his NFL career.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I see that and I hear what you're saying, but it was a 4-point penalty. Did it matter at the end of the game?
Don't say that.
It didn't.
It changed the whole context of the game, though, Teague.
I guess you could say that.
Well, but hold on. They're attempting a 50-yard field goal.
Yes.
Let's say they even make it.
They're making it.
It's 3-0.
I know.
I don't know what happens next.
Okay.
Are we assuming everything goes around the same way?
So it was 7-0.
What?
It was. So then it's 7-0.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Of course, but ultimately, is it?
Yes.
So let's say everything else stays the same.
Well, I can't do that. I don't think sports works that way.
If the Bills kick a field goal instead of scoring a touchdown.
Yeah.
When Justin Fields scrambles, can't find anybody, decides to run, and then fumbles.
Yes.
And gives the ball right back to the Bills, it's now 6-0 as opposed to 10-0.
That's significant.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, look, here's what you have on me. And it's unfair, but I get it. it is very easy to say, bro, the Buffalo Bills are far better, which they are.
Yes.
You lost the game 30-10, which they did. You got nothing going offensively, which they didn't. Mm-hmm. So why would you think that one play makes the difference? As a sports fan, I'm always under the assumption that one play can make a difference. It could change the entire trajectory of a game.
Yeah, but roughing the passer is so subjective. This one was not necessarily. The couple that happened on Warrick Roberts and Harris, they were ridiculous calls because they weren't roughing the passer. This one, because he was up around the head, I get it. All right, but does that make him a terrible player?
I think the body of work makes him a terrible player, which is why I pointed out everything else he hasn't done here. Like, I'm not suggesting if Quinnen Williams committed a egregious penalty that you mm-hmm. cut Quinnen Williams. That's obviously stupid. But when someone has been an underachiever for 4 years, you could have cut him 3 weeks ago and no one would have batted an eye.
Yeah, well, why didn't you?
Well, that's ask Darren Mooji.
Was there nobody better? Like, why is he still on the team then? Because all I heard in this moment when it happened was, cut him in the middle of the game.
That's what I said, yes.
It's like, yeah. Come on.
I would have cut James Hudson in the middle of the game, too, while we're at it.
No, all you got to do is bench him.
Well, same thing. You get what I'm saying.
Just bench him. Just bench him. James Hudson, you need for depth reasons. Just bench him.
Well,
I hope he doesn't start another game because Marcus Bowe looked really good. And eventually Andrew Thomas is going to be back.
Well, eventually.
Michael Clemens, can you bench him?
Well, yes.
Can you sit him down? Who's playing edge rusher then?
It doesn't matter, Teak. I actually think
sure
that. Yeah, I really do. I think if you're going to be the accountability head coach,
mm-hmm.
don't you actually have to hold guys accountable?
Yeah, but he made a mistake. It happens 10 times a game, it feels like, in the NFL these days, roughing the passer. You breathe on him the wrong way. You don't land quite, you don't set him down quite softly enough on a sack attempt or just after he throws the football and you get a roughing the passer. I get it. It was a 4-point swing because of it. Does that make a difference in this game?
It could have.
I mean, it could
have.
We'll agree to disagree. Okay. I just don't think it's a fire him in the middle of the game offense.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense.
I would have fired him in the middle of the game.
I heard that from everybody. And it was like, I was just saying, shut up.
Really?
Because you don't do that.
But, Teak, it's obviously, hold on, let me explain myself because I said it too. No one actually thinks you're cutting someone in the middle of the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's more a figure of speech.
Why didn't you say it for Quinnen Williams or Quincy Williams last week?
Because
cut him in the middle of the game.
Because he's done more. That's why. I'll be blunt with you. Because Quincy Williams is a damn good Jet. Michael Clemens hasn't been one. And yes, it's easier, I admit, to bench or cut somebody when they're expendable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I stand. And Aaron Glenn did it a week ago. We'll see if he does it this week.
It's his first year, and him and Muji's first year. They're trying to figure out who is expendable and who's worth keeping.
Let's kick this baby off with Steven in Brooklyn. Good afternoon, Steven.
Hey, guys. Frustrated Giant fan here. Tiki, you said this yesterday in the postgame show. You said they got that extra possession.
Right,
and when you get an extra possession, you gotta get points, especially when you're on the road.
Yep.
And I got to be honest with you. I'm sitting there watching the game, right? And mm-hmm. I'm saying to myself, second quarter, 6-7 minutes left, I said, Giants are going to be moving the ball today. They're not going to have an issue of scoring. And I'm just sitting there saying that. And what frustrates me the most is that Dable, fine, ups and downs, this and that. I felt like that was a huge mistake not picking the field goal because you're going to score points.
Yes.
And those 3 points in the second quarter,
that made a difference in the rest of the game.
Right.
Beginning of the third quarter, Stephen. That's
first possession of the third quarter, because that's when Drew Phillips picked off Dak Prescott.
Yes.
They were set up at midfield, leading in the game 13-10.
Yeah, it was a stolen possession. They only had 5 possessions in the first half, and you stole one at the very beginning of the second half. And I know you wanted to go be aggressive and put 7 on the board and make up for the red zone woes that have plagued this team the first couple of weeks of the season. And I don't mean, even though they scored 37 points, they still had a ton of red zone issues in this game against the Cowboys. Most of the scoring came from deep. Right? It came from down the field. Big plays by Russell Wilson and Wandell Robinson and Malik Nabers. And so when you get into the red zone and you're struggling in the red zone, and you stole a possession, just take the points. It's free
points, yes.
It's free money.
Yeah.
Don't give it back. Hey, here's some free money, Evan. yeah, you give it right back to me. That's basically what he did.
So you wanted Brian Daboll to kick the field goal.
Kick the field goal. Because it was, the problem with saying kick the field goal is that they dialed up the right play.
Yeah, Cam Scottable couldn't hold on to it.
He couldn't hold it.
And you could tell on third down when they ran with Scottable on third and three that Brian Daboll was treating it like four down territory.
Of course. He wanted.
He knew.
Yeah, if he would have gotten, it would have been easier if he gets 2 yards and it's third and like inches.
Confession?
Go ahead.
Can I confess something to you? Would you agree, and you, Sean, agree in the Giant community that people were very upset with Brian Daboll going for it on fourth and two from the 9 yard line?
I think it's more split than we're leading it out to be.
Okay, good. Yeah. That makes me feel better. I agree with Brian Daboll. And I'll tell you why. And you bring up a great point about the free points. You just forced a turnover, just take it. I was surmising, and this is how I felt in the moment. I said it's 13-10. I don't believe it's going to end that way. I believe the Cowboys are going to score a lot of points, which they ended up doing, probably more than I even imagined.
Right, which means you're going to have to try to score
points. Correct, which in my brain told me, I don't know if kicking a field goal is going to be enough. So I wanted to go for the jugular.
But,
if
it's, not, I scored, but it's not the jugular.
Well, it makes it a two-possession game. It's not the jugular, but it gives me a greater chance of winning the football game. And I'm setting the Cowboys up where if I don't convert, they're at their own 10-yard line. And if I get off the field, I'll get good field position. What made it worse is that they didn't get off the field. They committed two egregious penalties.
Right.
And Javonte Williams was dancing in the end zone 6 plays later. But in the moment, I'm being honest.
Yeah.
In the moment, I was like, good, go for it.
Yeah.
Be aggressive.
Again, I could, in the moment, I get it. And it's just in retrospect, you take the free points.
It's also not a two-possession game because you're still not, it's not like fourth and three at the three where we're having that conversation where you're pinning them against the goal line. You're still going to have to go through a whole other set of downs to get in there. The one thing that cannot happen after you get that interception and you're in Dallas territory is leave that possession with 0 points.
Yeah,
point blank.
Yeah, the problem when I rethought about it at the end of the game was the biggest issue for the Giants right now so far in 2 weeks has been red zone offense.
Yeah.
Even when they were 500 and whatever yards, many yards they had.
They were getting
game,
all their touchdowns from well outside the red zone.
Red zone offense is a problem.
Yeah.
And so I didn't trust it. And so if you have a chance to just take 3 points that are free,
yeah,
just take them. If your red zone offense is clipping at the 70-75%, hell yeah. You guys got this, man. Call the right play, execute it, go get in first down, and then punch it in from the tight red area. I just didn't have faith because their red zone offense has not been good yet this year.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.